Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
You know, at senior prom. And Mike, whenever you said Jessica, I thought you said Jessica's first thoughts of you was just money. Like, you're money. But you thought of her as money because you needed money, right? Yeah. The lights up here are incredibly hot, aren't they? I could see you sweating, man. Yeah, these spotlights are just so intense. That was a joy. Really, really fun. I appreciate that we do that. And church family, there's something when we can just laugh together and enjoy one another's stories. And had that been you up here, you would have been laughing and stumbling and bumbling and just having a great time. And so please value these moments that we do together. Just want to share with you, as we're talking about the heart, and we're talking about love and relationships one to another, I also just want to talk about our heart with the greatest lover that we've ever had, that's ever loved the world, and it's in the person of Christ. And in James chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible says this, that when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. Have you ever seen that true in a relationship, a friendship, a marriage, a parent and a child, that there's a little bit of a wedge, maybe there's a little bit of a frustration, there's an offense, something happened, and the heart grows distant, and someone has to make the first move? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And not always, but usually, when we come back together in humility and in asking for forgiveness, the hearts reconnect. It's just how the Bible has written it. It's how God has written it, that when we go low, the Bible would also say it this way, that a harsh answer stirs up anger, but a soft response turns away wrath. And so many times whenever we turn our hearts back, there's this reconciliation. I know that whenever my heart is disconnected from Alyssa, I do not want to tell her that she's awesome. My heart is blocked up. And she can come walking down the stairs looking amazing, and my heart is shut off. And she'll ask me this question, and guys, take note. She'll say, so how do I look? I'm like, it's fine. Woo, that is not fine. How many of y'all know, the volume of your voice, facial expressions, high pitch, all of that stuff matter? And you can say, it's fine. You're like, you're looking fine. It's the same answer, but it's just a different answer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I can't say it when my heart is shut off. I see it, but I don't want to say it. And there comes a time when I've got to pivot my heart, and I got to draw near to her. And whenever I make that move, she makes that move back. And in the same way with the Lord, perhaps there's been a wedge that's just been disobedience. Perhaps it's been you just don't even know Jesus, and you're just like, there's just this chasm between me and the Lord that I don't even know exists. Or perhaps you projected from who your father was upon Father God, and you say, if he's anything like a father, no thanks. Don't want that. And so our hearts have just kind of grown apart over time with Jesus. And we might live in the same house with brother, sister, mom, dad, husband, wife, but over the course of time, there hasn't been a turning toward one another. There's been a separating toward one another. And so the Bible says this, when you turn toward Him, He turns toward you. And I also would just ask that we would do that in our marriage, in our relationship. Perhaps you're engaged. Maybe you're dating someone that you want to pursue towards marital covenant and unity and union. I would just say this, whatever that wedge is, do not let the wedge win. Do not let the wedge win. And how we defeat the wedge is just a turning. It's just a turning. Sometimes it's just, I just come and I just grab her hand. And you almost just feel her heart begin to melt. Or I'll just even just pull her in toward me. Because when the heart is separated, usually physical separation as well. And I'll tell you this with Jesus. When there's a turning of my heart toward Jesus, there's a supernatural response that He gives. Heaven responds to us turning to Him. It's what James 4, verse 8 would say. And so how do I get my heart back in love with my ultimate Valentine? How do I get my heart in love with the one who has laid His life down for me? And so I want to turn my heart toward Him. This is something kind of cool in an Orthodox Jewish homes or in their churches, in their synagogues. But even in their homes, they do this. Whenever you would walk in, you would see this this box that's outside of their homes or in the doorway of their homes, and it's a Shaddai or a Shaddai, like an El Shaddai or an El Shaddai. It means mighty one. And so you walk in and they have this Shaddai or Shaddai, and it's not the singer Shaddai, but it's this box of little tiny scrolls inside. And whenever you open up these scrolls, they have different scripture verses on top of them. And on these scripture verses, on these little scrolls, it's a mezuzah is what they call them. And it has this scripture verse, and it comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Jews were taught not only to just attach these inside their doorways, but they would even attach them as necklaces so they would be bound around their hearts. And they would write these scriptures. They also then had to memorize these scriptures. Jesus would have had to memorize this verse growing up as a good Jewish young boy. He would have quoted this scripture, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength." He would repeat this verse over and over and over. Now let's fast forward the tape from Deuteronomy to Jesus, and we're talking a few centuries have now passed. Okay, we're talking a few thousand years have gone by. So not just hundreds of years, but even millennia, a couple thousand years have passed by. And now here's Jesus. And the religious leaders, which is the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, Sadducees, they start pressing in on Jesus. And we see him repeat this a couple different times. There's one in Luke, there's one in Matthew, chapter 22. But they asked Jesus, they said, "Out of the 600 commandments, Jesus, what's the best one? Give us the primo. What's the priority commandment that there is?" Trying to trap Jesus, because if he would give the wrong answer, then they would say, "We know that you're not the Messiah." And they would just basically get rid of Jesus, and they could move on with their Jewish tradition and not recognize the Messiah, the King of the Jews. And so they get Jesus into this trap in Matthew chapter 22. And Jesus responds like this. And he says, out of all of the commandments, we can boil it down to two. First, and he repeats what he learned as a schoolboy, and he repeats what all of them should have known. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. There's a fourth one that he puts in there. And he goes, and the second one is just like that. Love your neighbor the way that you would love yourself. He goes, and all of it, it captures the entire law. The entire law is summed up in these two things. We could pontificate and wax eloquently about all these different laws, but he goes, here's the deal. Let's boil it all down to this thing. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength, and then begin to love everyone else around you to the same degree. Is that crazy? Love one another with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, and all of my strength. You've got to be crazy. That's asinine. And also Jesus likens love. He says that the way that the Father has loved me, I have now loved you. And the same way that I have loved you, now go love one another. And so if I could just encourage us as a church family, could we be a church that majors, if we major on anything, would we major on loving the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength, and just turning to him today? Lord, I just want to have this pivot in my heart, and I see you walking down the stairs, and I want to be blown away by you. And I want to tell you how awesome you are and how beautiful, and you are fine. You are wonderful, and how you cause a 4th of July firework explosion to go off in my heart and turn toward him. And in those disconnected wedge places, he's going to turn towards you. My son, my daughter, how I love you. I want this relationship with you. He's eager, and he wants it. Perhaps you've had that separation with a child before, and you're like, oh, just turn your heart back to me. Oh, it's going to be great. I want it. The same way the Father God is leaning over the balcony of heaven, aching and wanting our hearts to turn back toward him. When you think of this scripture in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, out of the all Old Testament scriptures, this is the one that's placed on the mezuzah. The answer is quite simple. Why this one? It's the easiest to forget, and once it's forgotten, its loss can cause the most damage to our relationship with God and the biggest disconnect in our life. We see that Moses speaks these words to the Israelites. We see that right before they cross over the Jordan River. We see another time whenever they're going into the land of Canaan, when they're going into the promised land of God. We also see it whenever they cross over the Jordan River, that their lives would never be the same again. And they spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and Moses continues to remind them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Jesus says, this is the entire game. And then do the same with one another. Church family, we're going to close here in just a moment, and we're going to wrap, but I just want you just to kind of go into all those little closets of your heart, and you're like, who is it that I'm not loving well? I just don't even like them. I don't enjoy them. I'm not loving them the way that God has called me to love them. I understand maybe there's some hurt, maybe there's some dings and damage, and not that we need to re-enter toxic relationships and hurtful and harmful relationships, but let's just pray for that person today. The Bible would say the person who has used you and abused you, who spitefully used you, those that have criticized you, pray for them. And so we're just going to turn our hearts even towards those hurtful relationships. We're going to have a great turning of our heart this morning. We're going to just start praying for some people. We're going to pray that our hearts would be fully his and he would be fully ours. I am my beloved and he is mine. Right, that the heart would just kind of come alive to Jesus. Maybe there's some things with parents, with kids. Maybe you need to call up a parent and just ask for forgiveness for being an idiot when you were a kid. Maybe there's some turning back into our marriage. Maybe it's restoration with father, son, mom, daughter, son, dad, daughter, all of that kind of connections. But the heart is off. And Jesus would say, here's the entire game, guys. Love me with everything you got. And also, let's love one another. And so let's just pause. Let's just kind of have kind of that silent worship time here right now. And here's how my prayer is going to look. God, I just want to turn my heart to you. I want my mind to be transfixed on you. I want my entire soul to be locked in. I want all of my strength, every ounce of my being to live for you. Let's just turn toward him. Just go ahead and just tell him you want to have a full turning to the Lord this morning. Maybe you just need to love the Lord with more of your mind. Take every thought captive. Start letting him kind of refine your dreamer. Love him with your mind. Maybe you just need to study the word more. Know the word of God. Love him with your strength. Let's get up and let's go. Let's go. As David Musselman challenged us, man, he's on a mission. And he went across the country just to tell someone at a gas station, at a restaurant, that Jesus loves them. Let's start moving our bodies toward people, toward the Lord. Let's take some action steps. Let's utilize the strength of our days to be a light, like a city on a hill. God, give me strength. And now just look into your heart and just say, who can I love? Who's the people around me? Inside my family, maybe somebody I work with. Maybe someone from way back in the day at a former church, at somebody you went to school with, but there's aught in your heart. There's a wedge. There's a frustration there. They said something. They did something. You said something. And the Lord would just say, come on, man. Let's restore this. If you forgive, I'll forgive. If you won't forgive, I won't forgive you of your sin. So let's just do some heart surgery this morning. God, just reveal those names to us right now. How about this? What if there's some anger towards someone who's already passed? Even though they have died, that unforgiveness is still alive. And let's just move towards forgiving. Let that bitterness pass away. Just say it. Just say it. God, I forgive Kevin. I forgive Derek. I forgive Susie. Just start saying it. And now if we could do one more thing, and it would be this, to actually not just say it within our hearts, but to say it with our mouths, to begin to have such a worshipful relationship with the Lord, to communicate a heart of praise, an attitude of worship, that my soul man, with all of my soul, my feelings, my emotions, the root of who I am, would just be poured upon your feet. And then also take some action steps toward those people that the Lord's saying you need to love on. That you would call them up, you would write them a letter. Maybe they're even in this church and they're sitting on the other side of the church. And we just need to go talk. And we can say, what has happened? I want to forgive and I want to love and I want to give you a hug and I want to move forward. But to not just believe it in our heart, but to obey it with our lives. All right. Yes, God. So, church family, I'm going to pray for us. When I pray, you're free to go. You're free to even stay. Just kind of sit in this for a little bit if you want. You're free to go talk to someone that you want to build that love bond with. But we want to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. We want to love one another the way that Christ has loved us. Jesus, we just thank you for your love. We thank you that you are the ultimate lover of our soul. We thank you that we can love you because you first loved us. We thank you that you have taken us on the best date ever. You have wooed our hearts. You're romancing our lives. Jesus, we just ask you to continue to love up our church family. God, we pray that you would restore those broken places in our hearts, that you would bind up the brokenhearted. God, we pray for a health to come into our family. Lord, we pray for a health in our marriages, with our children, with our spouses, God, with our parents. God, we just pray for reconciliation to take place. And Lord, that you would do a supernatural work here at Fairmount Friends in our hearts. We love you, Jesus. It's the best Valentine ever. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.